Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We are a two-man car. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner is Jesse Romero, and we make up Jesus 911. Good morning, Jesse. How are you doing?
Reporting for duty, sir.
All right.
Ruben, lots to talk about today, but we're going to talk about a lot of Catholic topics today. We're going to take a break a little bit from what's happening in our crazy world right now. And as Catholics, well, we're called, remember, most first and foremost, we're called to encourage each other. That's the mandate of the Catholic Church. We are called to encourage one another and build one another up, especially as men. That's why we're always quoting that famous verse, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another.
Absolutely. Hey, Jesse, there's a prayer that I've been praying for years, written by it's attributed to St. Gertrude. And we're going to talk about that today. It's supposed to release 1,000 souls from purgatory. But does it really do that, Jesse?
You know, Ruben, I've always scratched my head when I've heard that and I've seen these little prayer cards.
Yes.
And my antennas have always gone up because I've always intuitively known, wait a minute. To release a soul from purgatory requires an indulgence. And there are several things that have to be done with an indulgence. And so I've never promoted this, say the St. Gertrude prayer and you'll release 1,000. I mean, I've said the prayer many times, but I've always thought that there was something incorrect about that little prayer card. And in fact, Father Richard Heilman has done the homework. And in fact, I was tracking in the right direction. There is no basis for this 1,000 release of souls from purgatory. It's more of an urban legend. The prayer is a beautiful prayer, but again, for you to put a number on it that 1,000 souls are going to be released, that has no basis in Catholic teaching. So let's go ahead and start off with the article, Ruben.
Okay, I'll just tell you right now, Jess, that I have that prayer card in my missal. So at every Mass, I pray it after Mass. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful prayer.
Yeah.
I agree. It's a beautiful prayer. But again, to put a number on it without the requirements of being in a state of grace, that's a requirement to receive an indulgence and to apply an indulgence for somebody in purgatory. I've always known that. So that's why I'm saying, wait a minute. You can be in mortal sin and say this prayer and release 1,000 souls. That's not the tradition of the church.
No. But Jesus can work outside of all the traditions, you know. I mean, he could, like,
he could.
You know,
he could.
On private revelation, like with Sister Faustina, you know, Saint Faustina.
I agree that he can. Yes, he could. But again, when we're just going by what the church has always taught,
that's
a good framework to use in our prayer life. So, what is the church always taught?
That's right.
So let's go.
Father Richard Heilman, he writes that he has to admit that he's always struggled with the claim that St. Gertrude received from our Lord, the promise that if this prayer said 1,000 souls would be released from purgatory. But if it is true, or is it, you know? And the prayer goes like this, if you haven't heard it.
Beautiful prayer.
Yeah. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, for those in my home and in my family. Amen. So it is a beautiful prayer. Father Richard says, I pray it often, but the major reason I struggle with this is because I am a strong proponent and teach in my book, Church Militant Field Manual, the prescribed way the church has for gaining a plenary indulgence for a holy soul in purgatory. And here's what he wrote about the genius of the way the church has prescribed for us to do. You want to take it from there, Jess?
I got to click it open.
Okay, so through the lives of many saints, God has revealed and elevated a treasure chest of beautiful prayers, penances, and devotions. Holy Mother Church utilizes these prescribed acts of obedience as an occasion to teach and strengthen her children. It spurs us to works of devotion, penance, and charity. It's from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1478. In other words, when we look at each of the indulgenced good works and prayers granted to us, as well as the conditions necessary for obtaining them, we see that these acts and conditions are the favored ways in which God desires us to grow in holiness and confront evil and rescue souls. So again, this is the resistance training so necessary to build our spiritual muscles. We are resisting the need to do anything we so desire, even within our faith life, and allowing ourselves to be led by those ways God has revealed and elevated through centuries of inspired teaching.
Okay, let me, I open up the what the church has taught here on indulgences. So here's what it says. And again, this is what the church has taught ever since the church came up with, codified the indulgences and gave us basically the do's and don'ts. So it says, number one, requirements for attaining a plenary indulgence. That means a full indulgence. That means no time in purgatory. That's what plenary means. All your past sins that have been forgiven are now, satisfaction has been made for them, so there's no time in purgatory. It says this, first bullet, do the work while in a state of grace. Second bullet, receive sacramental confession within 20 days of the work. Third bullet, receive Eucharistic communion. One plenary indulgence may be earned per reception of the Eucharist. Fourth bullet, pray for the Pope's intentions, an Our Father, a Hail Mary, or another appropriate prayer is sufficient. Fifth bullet, have no attachment to sin, even venial. That is, the Christian makes an act of the will to love God and despise sin. So those are the five requirements for a plenary indulgence. The requirements for a partial indulgence, that means time in purgatory is diminished if you do the work while in a state of grace. And number two, have the general intention of earning an indulgence. So again, I think that's what Father Heilman, myself and others, when I've read this, the promises of St. Gertrude, I've never researched the book of St. Gertrude. I just haven't done it, but he did. And he's going to talk about it right now. But I've always kind of known. I said, wait a minute. You can't throw caution to the wind here. The church has already given us norms how you receive these plenary indulgences. And this is something that's it's not in continuity with tradition. Mm. Go ahead, Ruben.
That's true, Jess. I think that last stipulation is what trips up most people. Not having attachment to even venial sin. And that's
very, very difficult.
That is difficult.
That's why to gain the plenary indulgence, you almost have to do it in order for you to get it. Go to church in the morning. Make sure, you know, you just go from your house to the church. Don't turn on any television or anything that's going to, you know, Facebook or social media that's going to cause you to fall into venial sin like detraction, calumny, gossip, slander. Get to Mass. Don't listen to nothing. Just be praying when you go to Mass. Make sure you have gone to confession within 20 days. Receive Holy Communion in a state of grace. Say the prayers for the Pope. And again, so if you're disconnected to all social media and everything, you're probably going to be free of venial sin. And you're going to be able to gain the indulgence for yourself or somebody else. But if you wait throughout the day and you're trying to do this at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 4 o'clock, you've probably fallen into several venial sins already by the time, you know, lunch comes around. And that's why, again, even the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the righteous man sins seven times a day. So the best way to gain an indulgence would be right in the morning.
Yeah, that's true, Jesse. This the way our social media is and the way, you know, just how about people just the way they dress in public, you know?
Yeah. So you got to keep your eyes and don't even turn on the internet for that matter.
Right.
Okay. You know, before you go to Mass. It's not as easy to gain it's easier to gain a partial indulgence, but a plenary is pretty difficult.
Yeah. And I think when they said you have to go to confession, 20 days. I think it's 10 days before and 10 or 10 days after. So I think it makes up 20 days, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I've heard that it could be 20 days past.
Past. Okay.
Yeah. correct.
Okay. Well, I always learn something when we do the show, Jesse. So
yeah, absolutely.
This is good. This is great for me. I probably
good stuff
more than our listeners do. But so anyway, Father Hyman says that it just takes 15 seconds to pray this prayer that releases 1,000 souls from purgatory. So why would I bother doing the challenging way the church has prescribed? I wouldn't. And people gravitate to the least resistance. So so he says, and in such a push-button world in which we now live, I wouldn't blame anyone for taking the 15-second option over the more challenging way of the church. So we can see why the devotions prescribed by the church for gaining a plenary indulgence for a holy soul in purgatory has seemed to fade away. I have been trying to revive it, but I have had the competition of this 15-second option standing in the way.
Interesting.
Then just today, he says, a friend shared this blog post that raises some very important questions and concerns in relation to this prayer. They are things I had not known or considered, and this was very enlightening. Jesse?
It says, and we're probably going to take this on to the next segment so we can do it justice. We're talking about St. Gertrude's writings. Father Hyman's got an article. It's a beautiful prayer. Don't get me wrong. Keep on praying this prayer. And if you're in a state of grace, it's going to be very effective. But the whole thing about putting 1,000 souls being released from purgatory, Father Richard Hyman says, there is no evidence for that. That seems to be an urban legend. So we'll get right into it on the next segment. Jesus 911. We'll be right back.
Be right back.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Hey, Jess, I want to give a shout out to a group of prayer warriors that I spoke with last night. I joined in on their Zoom call. Some friends of the show, they're doing the Exodus 90, and they They wanted me to speak to their group last night, so it was, you know, I had a good time meeting them, and so hopefully they were able to glean something from what I said, and thank you for being listeners of the shows, George and, you know, Joseph and all the guys involved.
A lot of good Catholic men out there, Ruben, that are just stepping up and just increasing their interior life. And that's good. That's good to see, because we need more men to be engaged in their faith, because we're living in very evil times.
That's right. And, you know, several of them had said that this the show, that they listen to our show, and it's really encouraged them and brought them closer to their faith. So that's good. So, you know,
that's why we do this show.
Us blue collar guys, just regular guys, and God's using us. So if he can use us, he can use anybody. So
that's right. And he's using them, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah.
Ruben, we're talking about Father Richard Hellman's did a little bit of intel, a little investigation on the St. Gertrude prayer. By the way, it's a beautiful prayer, so I'm not saying anything about the prayer itself. I mean, you should pray it, you know, as part of your prayer life. It sounds like the Divine Mercy prayer. But again, all prayer is effective based on the James 5:16 principle. You have to be in a state of grace. And that's just biblical. That's just the biblical understanding of prayer. If you're in mortal sin, John 9:31, God doesn't hear your prayer. That's just basic. And I think that's what Father Richard was, you know, keen in on, what the Bible teaches. So he says the following. He goes, just today, a friend shared this blog post that raises some very important questions and concerns in relation to this St. Gertrude prayer and releasing 1,000 souls. These are all things I had not known or considered. This was very enlightening. Number one. One thing I discovered is that this promise appears nowhere in St. Gertrude's writings. I'm going to say that again. I discovered, Father Richard Hellman says, that this promise appears nowhere in St. Gertrude's writings. It is generally accepted that she received personal revelations, but her accepted writings do not contain the promise. I searched the entire book, quote, The Life and Revelations of St. Gertrude the Great, close quote, and it is nowhere to be found. This is problematic that the saint's own writings that are considered authoritative concerning her revelations do not testify to this promise of the release of 1,000 souls from purgatory. The next issue, number two, is the general condemnation by the Catholic Church of such promises. In the 19th century, there was somewhat of an epidemic in the church concerning holy cards being released with false promises and indulgences. The Holy See, under the authority of Pope Leo XIII, issued a series of proclamations to try and suppress the problem so that the faithful might not be led astray by believing in false promises and indulgences not approved by the church. These proclamations were posted in an old set of documents called the Acta Sancti Sedis, the Acts of the Holy See, which was a monthly publication containing actions of the Pope and Roman congregations. The originals of the documents are posted on the Vatican website. They're all in Latin. If you look, open the link to ASS 31 and scroll to page 727, looking at the paragraph starting with Ad hanc, you can see a general overview of the problem with these prayer cards and the Vatican's attempting to weed them out. Then, more directly, in ASS 32, scroll down to page 243, and look specifically to Rule 8. This proclamation says that any pamphlets or leaflets containing promises to release one or more souls from purgatory are to be rejected by the faithful, and any indulgences attached to them should be presumed invalid. And so, not only do St. Gertrude's writings not contain this promise, but there's a general condemnation for prayer cards with promises to release one or more souls from purgatory. Ruben, that says everything I need to know as a Catholic. And basically, it's things that I've already been kind of connecting in my mind for years. I just never said anything because I said, I don't got a dog in this fight. Let people pray that prayer. But I'm glad Father Richard Hellman has given us the facts like a lawyer.
That's right. That's good. And, you know, there's the bullet points that he writes here. It's kind of what you already said, that, you know, the
no promise.
St. Gertrude's writings contain nothing about the promise to release 1,000 souls from purgatory each time the prayer is said. The second bullet point, there was an epidemic of prayer cards containing false promises and indulgence. The third, the church has summarily condemned prayer cards containing a promise to release one or more souls from purgatory. The fourth one, the supposed approval by M. Cardinal is dated that exact same date as the approval by Manuel Goncalves Cerejera of the book Read Me or Rue It, a book by Father O'Malley containing the prayer but not the promise. So, yeah, that's a good little track, that Read Me or Rue It. And the last one is, such an easy way to release 1,000 souls seems consistent with the church's...
Inconsistent.
That's huge. It seems inconsistent with the church's understanding of purgatory, given that ordinarily to release one soul requires a plenary indulgence, which is very difficult to get, and given all the means the church employs to help the dead, such as special masses or indulgences applicable only to the dead. So Father Richard says, I'll continue to pray the prayer of St. Gertrude, but I will put my eggs in the basket of what the church prescribes over unapproved legends of 1,000 souls released from purgatory. So I guess I'm going to have to do the same thing, Jess. I'll keep saying the prayer.
It's a beautiful prayer. Well, it almost sounds like the Divine Mercy prayer, St. Faustina's.
Yeah.
It almost sounds just like that. And again, I think we have to, as Catholics, let's not forget our basic Catholicism, that God listens to prayers when you're in a state of grace, James 5:16.
Right.
God doesn't listen to prayers when you're in mortal sin, John 9:31. That's just it's the basic theology of prayer. And again, I think a lot of people and stuff probably took it upon themselves to print these prayer cards. You know, good well-intentioned Catholics, and they attached the 1,000 days off of purgatory themselves, and they just circulated those prayer cards, and they probably put a cardinal's name on it. But again, Father Heilman and his friends have done the research like detectives, like Scotland Yard detectives, and the fact is there are the promises that are contained in those prayer cards go against what Pope Leo XIII said. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest popes in the last 150 years.
I think we're ready to switch gears, Jess.
Let's switch. Switch.
Yeah.
Hey, Ruben, you sent me something on my phone. Maybe you want to share it. It was kind of a good news. I'm going to grab it right here. Somebody sent it to you from a lawyer, and I thought it'd be worth sharing with the audience today. I think you said it. Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me share this with you. You had sent this to me, Ruben. So I said, oh, this is good stuff. It says, from a constitutional lawyer, in a nutshell, this election, this sham election, is going to go to the Supreme Court, where they will rule that the election is invalid due to fraud or mistakes on a countrywide scale. It will go down one of two ways. Either they will rule all the unconstitutional mail-in ballots will be removed, and the states order them to, and the states ordered to recount without them, or they will simply rule the election is invalid due to mass voter fraud, and at that point it will be sent to the Congress and Senate for a vote. This is where it gets good. The House/Congress votes on who the president will be. It has nothing to do with what party that has the power. Every state gets one vote, and 30 states are held by Republicans and 19 by Democrats. They have to vote down party lines. They have no choice due to the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, and the Senate votes for the vice president, where a similar event will take place. This is the law. This is why the Democrats are so mad at Nancy Pelosi. This will all happen in January. The only way President Trump won't be president is if he concedes the election, and that will never happen. So stop watching the fake news, and don't let your heart be troubled, and live your life knowing this will all work out. President Trump will remain president. I have researched all of this, and it is a fact. Another fun fact, this lawyer says, they called Gore the president-elect for 30 days in 2000 until the courts ruled against him and declared Bush the winner. And two people that were part of that decision was none other than the new Supreme Court justices, Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. Why do you think the Democrats tried so hard to keep them from being confirmed? Here is a way we can participate. Send this text to all Republicans, it says here. And you also send me something that I've read also from somebody else. It says, there's accumulated evidence. Let me read it right here. Yeah, it says accumulated evidence we've never seen this level of fraud. The Dominion changed. That's the software that was used for many of the states. It says Dominion changed, switched 38 million votes across the U.S. And so you have Trump's lawyer, his legal team, looking into this. It says here, according to whistleblowers, the number of Dominion whistleblowers, including a Michigan contractor for the company, coming forward indicate that about 38 million votes were switched away from President Trump and given to Joe Biden by this voting machine software company Dominion, whose products were used in multiple states for the recent election. And people have come forward. They're blowing the whistle right now, talking about outright election theft perpetrated through this company's voting software. So, Ruben, we're far from over.
Yeah.
And we got to keep on praying.
Yeah. The U.S. Army, they raided Seidel, the software company that Dominion uses, and their headquarters in Barcelona. And they also have an office in Germany. So the software, all the servers were taken as evidence. And according to Lou Dobbs, he says that the FBI is also involved in this investigation now. And as we speak, the president and his legal team are in the White House discussing their actions. Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney, says that they're about to release something today. Well, let's see if that happens. I hope to God that they release something, because, you know, the false media and the big big tech companies, they're quick to say baseless. There's no evidence of fraud. You know, there's always putting down the president for this. But and also in the Judiciary Committee has Zuckerberg and the other guy, the guy from Twitter. They're grilling them about how they censor conservatives and pro-life people. And so we'll see. That's going to be interesting. They've swayed the election by what they're doing. Anyway, we'll be right back. Let's get into St. Vincent Ferrer. You're going to want to know about this great saint, Angel of the Apocalypse. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Soul Patrol, Ruben Nava, Jess Romero.
10-8.
We're going to talk about a. I want to talk about a great saint right now, the Saint Vincent Ferrer. He's called the Saint of the Apocalypse. And if we had, Ruben, if we had 10 St. Vincent Ferrers on planet Earth right now, we would change the world.
Apparently, yeah. Jesse, I hadn't done any reading on St. Vincent Ferrer. I know Father Isaac Relier, he's always praying to St. Vincent. But when I read this article and I did some more research on St. Vincent, I was blown away by the... what this guy's done, the miracles attributed to him, and what he did to change the landscape of bringing people back, bringing sinners back to the faith. And like you said, if we had more St. Vincents, man, we could change this world. And definitely.
He was a ferocious preacher of the gospel. Ferocious.
A Dominican. So let's get into it. Says his feast day is April
5th. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Feast day is April 5th. He's a Spanish Dominican who spent most of his life traveling and preaching. That's the order of preachers, the Dominicans, throughout Western Europe. Counselor to popes and kings, miracle worker, and a renowned preacher, St. Vincent was known as a great saint during his lifetime. And while he only preached in Spanish or Latin, get this, everyone who heard his sermons could understand him. Sounds a little bit like in the book of Acts, huh, after the day of Pentecost.
Just like the book of Acts.
The apostles were preaching, and people from various parts of the Middle East were in Africa were understood what they were saying. So when he preached, he was said to be able to reach the most hardened sinners. He was called Boanerges, the son of thunder.
Boanerges.
Son of thunder, because of his fiery preaching style and his sermons had the power that only comes through great sanctity and devotion to prayer and sacrifice. Despite the many miracles he worked and his great fame throughout Europe while he lived, St. Vincent always remained extremely humble. And that humility is huge when it comes to these saints, Jesse. That's the common thread, the common theme is their being humble, and God works through their humility. He preferred simple people over the famous, and the solitude of the monastery over the splendor of the royal courts to which he was so often invited. There's so much to be learned from this great saint whose sanctity gave his words their ability to change hearts, and who remained simple and humble in the midst of worldly acclaim. And I heard, Jesse, that when he was preaching, his voice could carry for 3 miles. People could hear him for miles. Amazing. So,
whoa.
He was...
Let me just say a couple things about the miracles.
Yeah.
Let me mention a couple things, Ruben, about the miracles, because that what you just shared right now, that he performed many miracles, I don't want to gloss over that. That's important. I'm reading here from a TAN book. It's called Raised from the Dead. It says here, St. Vincent Ferrer preached to Muslims. He also raised at least 28 persons from the dead. Let me just grab this microphone before I fall off my chair. Okay, I'm going to say that again. St. Vincent Ferrer prayed over and raised at least 28 persons from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And during his lifetime, he performed an estimated 40,000 miracles. I mean, this guy was a power preacher. I'm looking at some of the things here about the miracles that he did. That first paragraph that you just shared, Ruben, from my TAN book, it's called Raised from the Dead. It says, St. Vincent Ferrer, He once converted 10,000 Jews at one time by marching right into their synagogue and preaching to them, and the Jews turned their synagogue into a Catholic church. Is this a microphone on?
Yeah.
I wonder who right now in the Vatican would dare do something like that. Or are we going to follow this, we're all brothers and, this false ecumenism. What else do we know about St. Vincent Ferrer? Hey, get this. St. Vincent Ferrer had the gift of languages, just like Ruben, you had said. He would preach in his language wherever he went, or in Latin, and people understood him in their native tongue. What else do we know about Vincent Ferrer? It says he was 46 years old. He suffered from grievous illness. Our Lord appeared to him, accompanied by St. Francis and St. Dominic, and our Lord sent to St. Vincent Ferrer, among other things. He said, "Arise then and go and preach against vice. For this have I chosen you. Exhort sinners to repentance, for my judgment is at hand." The author of this book also says that St. Vincent Ferrer, he was such a great missionary that he can only be compared to the 12 apostles. Here's another one. This is another powerful one. It says here, some would consider it a conservative estimate that St. Vincent Ferrer converted 25,000 Jews during his lifetime and 8,000 Muslims. His total number of conversions, this is without radio or internet or, a social media, he converted around 200,000 souls to the Catholic Church, including Muslims, Jews, heretics, and apostate Catholics. In fact, this one time that he was preaching, it said he preached on the Passion of Jesus Christ for 6 hours without a break before a crowd of 30,000 people at a packed place. The official, the Acta Sanctorum in the Vatican says that he performed 873 actual bona fide miracles during his lifetime. St. Vincent Ferrer, pray for us.
You're right, Jesse. And,
Ruben,
the Muslim, can you hear me? Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay,
yeah.
Hey, Jess.
I can hear you, yeah.
The Muslims, they had to ask him to leave because he was converting too many of them. They said, "Hey, man, give us a break. You're taking our flock away from us." And, when he was born as the fourth child of Guillaume Ferrer and his wife, Constanza Miguel. And before Vincent was born, his father had a dream, which a Dominican friar told him his son would be famous all over the world. And these parents were always generous to the poor, and they taught him to do the same, to give alms to the poor. His mother, by the way, Jesse, her excitement foreshadowed the child's birth. His mother, Constance, experienced only joy and painlessness during her expectancy. And also, a poor blind woman predicted that the child Constance bore within her was an angel who would one day restore her sight, which he did years later. So, in order to subdue his passions, he fasted rigorously from his childhood every Wednesday and Friday. The Passion of Christ was always the object of his most tender devotion.
That's the old school, Ruben, Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
That's the old school, Wednesdays and Fridays fast.
Yeah. And we struggle just
old school.
We struggle just to
do Fridays.
Fridays in Lent, I don't eat meat throughout the year on Fridays. I haven't. Once in a while, I'll do Wednesdays, but it's every Friday for my wife and I. So anyway,
we're mastering it here. We're mastering it.
Yeah, we're trying. So he was taught, was preaching, Jesse, about the four last things. It's something that you don't hear about in the modern parishes. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell.
That's true.
That is the most important thing we could study and we can meditate on is the four last things. That last day of your life.
Ruben, you're right. You know what? You're right. I bet if some priest or bishop in the presence of Joe Biden would preach the last four things like St. Vincent Ferrer, it can convert somebody like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, or they never walk into the Catholic Church again, one or the other. They're either going to totally reject the faith completely, or they're going to have a conversion, because you can't hear about the last four things, you know, in the style of St. Vincent Ferrer, and not be moved either to accept God entirely or to walk away from God forever.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, basically he had a morning offering that went something like this. Consult God more than your books and ask him with humility to make you understand what you read. Study fatigues and drains the mind and heart. Go from time to time to refresh them at the feet of Jesus Christ under his cross. Some moments of repose in his sacred wounds give fresh vigor and new lights. That was his mindset when he would do his morning offering. And so that's, and we can learn from that.
He understood that prayer is more important than study, because, Ruben, a lot of people in the Catholic Church just get caught up on studying, mm-hmm. and they don't have much of a prayer life. But I'm going to tell you who's going to be in heaven and have a higher place in heaven. Not the theologians, but that old grandma, that old viejita, going to daily mass, praying the rosary every day, never having read the catechism or a papal encyclical. But that type of piety and humility is going to give her a higher reward, more merit in heaven than the theologian who's full of himself.
You know, Jesse, the Lord gives us, he brings us to go through things, through trials and tribulations and temptations, and to build us up. And he did that with St. Vincent as humiliation. God permitted an angel of Satan to molest him with violent temptations of the flesh and to fill his imagination with filthy ideas. Mm. The arms which the saint employed against the devil were prayer, penance, and perpetual watchfulness and every impulse of his passions. As he grew into manhood, it was said that his countenance was beautiful and radiant, which reflected the beauty of a soul filled with the love of God. Even in his old age, this radiance never left him. He was most radiant, however, when he gave a sermon on the Mother of God or the joys of heaven.
Wow. St. Vincent Ferrer, pray for us. Here, let me share something else from my book, my TAN book on St. Vincent, just to complement mm-hmm. what we're talking about today. It says, again, that the Vatican documents that there was 873 miracles performed by this saint, and those are the ones that have been validated and recognized. On the next segment, I'm going to share with you a little bit about St. Vincent Ferrer and his power over the devil. You're going to be very interested to listen to this. Jesus 911, two-man car. By the way, if you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified about the show, and share the show with others and bring them to Christ.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall-to-wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. We're talking about St. Vincent Ferrer, an amazing saint, a giant. And he lived in the, he lived at the 14th century and part of the 15th century. And so this guy was a giant, Jesse. He, he knew, understood his mission. And the article that we have here says that even if we have not been called to be an angel of the apocalypse, we each have a mission, and it's important that we carry it out generously the way he did. The reason people listened to St. Vincent and the reason his words changed hearts was that God was able to speak through him. This was possible because he had grown close to God through prayer, penance, and love towards the poor. In short, Vincent was living the gospel message before he ever spoke it to anybody. And the third thing is Vincent was always remained humble, no matter how much fame, renown, and success he had. Humility is the key to God's heart. One can imagine that it was St. Vincent's devotion to Christ's passion and to the sacred scripture that gave him this virtue in such abundance. It's a great lesson for us who can become familiar with Christ's life and death without becoming more like him. As Christ himself had told us, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart," Matthew 11:29. There you have it.
You'll see, for example, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who's called, the Queen of Humility, that she mastered humility because God had given it her prevenient grace to be the most humble person ever in the world. In the Old Testament, Moses is called the most humble man that ever walked the face of the earth. St. Anthony of Padua says that humility is the one thing necessary to protect yourself from demons. And so you'll find that humility, this is the heart of God. And St. Vincent Ferrer, this is why his preaching was so powerful, and this is why he had so many charisms, so many gifts, is because he was literally a pencil in the hand of God. Let me share some other things that are not in the article about St. Vincent Ferrer that I think may be of interest to our audience, especially of the spiritual warfare style. It says here in my tan book, Raised from the Dead, about all these amazing saints. It says about St. Vincent Ferrer, it says this: the hagiographers, those are the people that write about the saints, hagiographers, tell of 70 persons who were delivered from diabolical possession by St. Vincent Ferrer. So he performed 70 exorcisms that we know of, and he was 70 and 0 against the devil. he delivered every single person from diabolical possession. The article it says here, Saint Vincent Ferrer had such power over devils that it was often enough for him to touch a possessed person for him to be freed. At other times, a possessed person would be freed from the devil merely upon going to the same region where Saint Vincent was, or people would be delivered by simply hearing St. Vincent's name pronounced. And it also says here, at Gurundi, St. Vincent's delivered a man possessed by the devil and more dead than alive. And in France, he had the British victors at Caen pray together with the defeated French for a sick man who was then cured, and all of them, enemies or not, shouted for joy. Now, here's the one of those miracles that got him canonized. Here's one of the miracles. This is an incredible miracle here. This is gory. I'm just warning you right now. The murder of this young kid, what the mother did, and the way St. Vincent Ferrer intervened and miraculously brought him back to life. Here's what it says. This is one of the two miracles that got St. Vincent Ferrer canonized, approved by the Vatican. The father of a certain child had given St. Vincent lodging while he was on a missionary journey. His wife, a virtuous woman, suffered from bad attacks of nerves and at times was close to madness. Upon his return from hearing one of St. Vincent's sermons, the father came home upon a terrible tragedy. His wife had gone mad. I would say that she was diabolically afflicted in some way, shape, or form. It says, his wife had gone mad, cut their small son's throat, then chopped up the boy's body and roasted a portion of it, which she then attempted to serve her husband. Cannibalism. When he realized what had happened, the man fled his house in horror and disgust to St. Vincent Ferrer. St. Vincent told him that, as in the case of the crushed Jew, the tragedy would be for the glory of God. So St. Vincent went with the father back to the house, and he prayed as he gathered the bloody pieces together of the little boy. St. Vincent said to the father, quote, if you have faith, God, who created this little soul from nothing, can bring him back to life, close quote. So St. Vincent knelt and prayed. He made the sign of the cross over the reassembled body. Suddenly, the pieces of the body became united together, and the body came to life again. And St. Vincent handed over to the father, his living child. This event is depicted in a painting by Francesco del Cosa in the New Picture Gallery in the Vatican. Bishop Renzanzo claims that this is one of the miracles submitted for the canonization process of St. Vincent Ferrer that ultimately gained his canonization. What do you think of that story, Ruben?
It's amazing. Yeah. How do you top that?
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
To see the power of these Catholic saints in the name of Jesus throughout history. I'm speechless.
Well, he was preaching for 13 months in an area known as Piedmont, and then he was instructing these heretics that lived in that region. And he says that the general source of their heresy was ignorance and want of an instructor, and cries out, quote, I blush and tremble when I consider the terrible judgment impending on ecclesiastical superiors who live at their ease in rich palaces while so many souls redeemed by the blood of Christ are perishing. That was an indictment against the shepherds of the church. And are we seeing that? How much more are we seeing that today, Jesse?
Wow.
And this was...
Ruben, it seems like he was talking about 2020 USCCB.
You're right.
Seriously, that's what it sounded like to me when you read that.
Exactly. That's what's happening. And he says that that when he would preach on the Last Judgment, he would paint this terrible picture. And he says that when Christ will appear on the clouds of heaven to summon the living and the dead to that damnation or glory, he showed it in all its splendor and all its horror, and in that light, which is beatitude or torment, which ravishes the soul or burns it without end. So punishment is certain, he says. Punishment is at hand. It is coming towards us relentlessly. Every day we live brings us one day closer. It may be upon us in an hour, in a second. So he felt it so, and he made sinners tremble with the feeling. He returned to this theme frequently on great occasions. Yes, you will say, quote, he wanted to frighten them, end quote. He did indeed want to frighten them because he himself was afraid. So, what do you see in today's, the Concilia Church? You know, everybody goes to heaven, he's in a better place. They're not getting people prepared for that day, the last day, the most important day of your life. You're going to die in friendship with God, or you're going to die at enmity with God. And St. Vincent knew that very well. And like,
amen.
Yeah. Like you said, he was converting so many Jews and Muslims.
Muslims,
yeah.
I guess he didn't read Fratelli Tutti. He didn't read that, Reuben.
No, he did not.
You know what he read? He read Matthew 28, 19, and 20, where it says, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He read what our Lord Jesus Christ said, not politically correct ecumenical document.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben, I'll tell you another thing about St. Vincent Ferrer is that he wanted unity in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Yeah.
It says here that St. Vincent lived during the Western Schism when there were two and later three claimants to the papacy. And St. Vincent was convinced that Clement VII in Avignon was a true pope, while Catherine of Siena supported Urban VI in Rome. And although he supported Clement VII and his predecessor, Benedict XII, St. Vincent worked tirelessly for reconciliation in the church. And when Benedict XIII refused to resign at the Council of Pisa or the Council of Constance, he lost most of his support, including St. Vincent's, who said that the schism had such a negative effect on him that he became seriously ill at the time.
Mm.
It was during this illness that St. Vincent had a vision of Christ, St. Dominic de Guzman, and St. Francis of Assisi. And after this vision, he received many supernatural gifts, and he believed that he was a messenger of penance, an angel of the apocalypse, sent to prepare the world for judgment. Reuben, here's my take as well. I think that we do have another angel of the apocalypse right now. I really do. And I think his name is Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. As I read him, Reuben, he writes with a very Pauline, very New Testament eschatological mindset. He's very steeped in the tradition of the church. He's very steeped in the dogmas of the church. And as I read him, Reuben, he's like putting something out every 4 or 5 days. I hearken back to St. Vincent de Ferrer and saying, could this be our angel of the apocalypse? Because boy, oh boy, we need somebody right now. And I know that the book of Amos, chapter 3, God promises that he will always have a prophet upon the earth.
Amen. Well, we're coming up on the end of our show. I hope you liked it. Like Jesse says, if you like it, share it and hit the like button. So remember, man, faith doesn't make you weak, okay? It makes you unbeatable.
That's right.
Put your faith in the right place. Rise as the mighty warrior. You know, you're more than a conqueror. So, you know, act like it. Leave an impact. Leave a legacy on this world. You don't want to, you know, just go through life. You know, that dash between our grave site where it's going to say our birth date and our end date, that dash means something. What is it going to say? What's your dash going to say when people speak about you? So be out there. Be the salt. Be the light. Be the reason someone finds hope. You've
Amen.
Been listening to Jesus 911. Wrap it up, Jess.
Catholics, know your faith. Catholics, live your faith. Catholics, spread your faith. Catholics, live in a state of grace. We'll see you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center, the Dojo. We're 10-7. We're out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.